Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Well, Blockhead Nation, here we are. 100 plus episodes, 10 exciting guests, and many more to come. And the journey has just begun. Want to remind my listeners that your favorite Blockhead's associated with the Yogi's Podcast Network, where you can listen to The Nightly Rant with Mike and Toria. You can listen to Liberty Revealed and one of my personal favorites, The Elite Podcast Academy, that will teach you everything you need to know about being a professional podcaster to take your show from 0 to 60 in 5.2 with all the tips from Mike himself from the Yogi's Podcast Network. And also to remind you that I'm associated with the Dose Leprechauns page. Dose Leprechauns Media has taken off. The merchandise is looking great. Jason and Nate are killing it in the podcasting world, and Notre Dame football is looking promising. All that being said, the little redhead girl is giving me the go-ahead. So what do you say we go ahead and start the show, shall we? Broadcasting live. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to your favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and warriors inside the octagon the next. We have, for the first time on this podcast, the very first roundtable. We officially have a Bermuda Triangle of talent in the podcasting world, one that is breaking the glass ceiling and is continuing to turn heads, and another one that's about to break the glass and enter into the ramp and take on the podcasting world by storm, just like Stone Cold Steve Austin would back in the early 90s. And before we get started, guys, I will say this. Be sure and check out my links that I have for the blog. If you go to my blog for yourfavoriteblockhead.com and you go to the blog, you can find all the links, all the audio for this show, and you can find my links for my affiliates. And one of the merchants that I love to promote are my friends over at Five Finger Tees. These guys offer a wide selection of pop culture, TV-inspired, and ridiculously funny T-shirts that will simply not break the bank. Their philosophy is they do all the work for you and provide you what you want for your style of T-shirts. Whether you're a comic fan, if you're a Star Wars fan, if you are a fan of The Office, you will find what you're looking for on Five Finger Tees. And when you get to checkout, just from your friend over here at your favorite Blockhead to get 5% off of your purchase, when you get to checkout with your T-shirts, make sure you include the promo code 5OFF. That's all one word, all lowercase. FIVEOFF from my friends over at Five Finger Tees. Now, to bring these guys to the forefront, to introduce them and pull the curtain back, I bring to you the Rated JG podcast host and the future of podcasting, the loud and opinionated host, Russell Brown and Justin Gilley. Gentlemen, welcome to the Blockhead Hour.
Thanks for having us, man. Glad to be here.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited.
This is great. And, you know, I mentioned earlier when we started the show that we were going to get right into the full main card of UFC 244. Lots to talk about. But before I do, Blockhead decided to throw a grenade into the conversation here just to see if I could ignite a fuse. So let me say this. Bottom of the seventh, World Series, Game 7. What happened?
The Nationals won, and that's the only thing I was excited about.
Anything to add on that one, Rated JG?
Man, I'm telling you, I think that's everything that you wanted from a World Series right there. I genuinely think we got to see the two best teams from their respective divisions duke it out for 7 games. And at this point, if the Rangers aren't in it, I don't have a dog in the race. So it was cool to just see them duke it out and see who was the overall better one.
I think it was neat to see that all the home teams never won. It was all road wins the entire World Series, which was pretty cool.
Very true.
They bring it full circle. For the guy that is a little bit out of the loop on baseball, like, I know who I can count on, who I can depend on. And as far as this, I'll bring one more thing up. I'm going to pull in Justin on this one. Since I kind of got off on a rough start with Miss Casey, I send my apologies. I bring my hat in my hands because I interrupted your game last night. How did it go with the Stars, and how is the conversation that is tearing your family apart going? Is she starting to succumb that bagel bites are the superior snack?
So I've thrown in the towel on that debate there. It's just one of those, we agree to disagree. And at this point in time, I don't discriminate if any kind of pizza flavored product, you know, anything that has a pepperoni and cheese on it, I'm down. I don't care how you wrap it up, put it on a bagel. It's all good. And so we just kind of shook hands and went our separate ways on that. But
there you go.
To talk about the Stars. Yes, they are on a little bit of a tangent right now, and they won last night. So knock on wood, we won two in a row against some pretty good teams. So we are have somewhat of a little streak going for the first time this entire season. So things are looking up.
Loud and Opinion, are you like one of those kids that I have in class that just have to be using something in your hand? Or is there something significant about that hard on a lock that we're coming here? I have to build this narrative since we only have our voices.
No, yeah. I have a resting hand syndrome where I have to be fidgeting with something, I guess. I don't know.
I point out all of your iniquities and your idiosyncrasies. And that's how we introduce you into the podcasting world. We have to take our little jabs at each other. And, you know, those that are listening right now, you are hearing, really, we said that we would stick with a script, but sure enough, we've gone so far off of it already because this is really a kitchen sink product line. So one of the reasons why He-Man and the Masters of the Universe worked is because they threw everything at you but the kitchen sink. Sometimes we have to do that in the podcasting world. Will you guys concur on that one?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this is a pretty cool little space for us to kind of just speak freely on a lot of different things and see where it goes. And that kind of leads to some of the best podcasts. So
there you go. We are pioneers and trailblazers, guys. So really, since I've got it there, is there anything you guys want to really discuss? I'll save my opinions for the end on this one. But since we are opening up in Madison Square Garden this evening at 2:44, the first one is a lightweight bout between Kevin Lee and Gegard Gillespie. Do you guys have any thoughts on Gillespie or Kevin Lee or any predictions on this one?
Go ahead, Russ.
I honestly don't, because I've actually never seen either one of these guys fight.
Really?
Actually, wow. I think I've seen Kevin Lee, but Gillespie I have not.
Yeah, Kevin Lee, just to throw in my two cents, Kevin Lee's kind of fallen on some hard times, like another person we're going to talk about in this podcast, which will remain until the end. But no, Kevin Lee is a freak. He is actually, for those that don't know, he is, like, I believe 5'8" or 5'9". So he's not a very big guy, but he has the reach, the wingspan of like a 6'3" guy. So he's huge when it comes to, you know, a reach advantage. But he's fallen on hard times. He's lost a couple of recent fights. And, you know, Gillespie is an absolute brawler. He's a wrestler, and he's nasty when he gets you in, when he gets his hands on you. But if Kevin Lee could use that reach to keep him at bay, then we could have a really interesting fight. But this is something I think this is an awesome one to open up the card with.
I feel the same way. You do have two wrestlers that are licking their chops at this point when they go at it. And really, if anybody has to bounce back out of those two, I will say yes, it is Kevin Lee. But I'll tell you one thing that is to his advantage is that Kevin Lee understands that we are very much in an entertainment era. Whether you like it or not, what you say on the mic and what you do in social media and what podcasts you land on or what different kind of interviews you get with ESPN or and time with Ariel Helwani, anybody who's able to do that and able to intrigue an audience is really going to have a strong following. And Kevin Lee is just a guy that understands that. He's got the persona. He's got the ability to speak. He does have the intellect. He just is a guy who wants to trash talk, and he wants to get involved. He's the guy that got Michael Chiesa all fired up before the incident on the bus with Connor. So he knows what buttons to push, and I believe that he is learning from the best. He's probably taking time to listen to Chael. I think he's been on Chael Sonnen's podcast a few times. Took a little page out of Connor's book. He's just not reinventing the wheel. He's going along with what the era is now. He's going along with the changes, and he's just handling it pretty well.
Yeah, and isn't this his first fight back down at lightweight? Am I crazy for thinking that?
It seems like if it It just seemed like it's out of place for him not to be in the welterweight division. So, yeah, that would make sense for him to have to cut.
It seemed like he was a little bit, you know, I don't want to say slower, but like he didn't have the endurance. That's what I'm looking for at the current or at his previous weight division. So we'll see. I mean, it's fighting as a whole is one of the hardest things to predict because all it takes is one shot or one false move and then an upset happens. Or that's why you got to watch.
It's a fast moving sport. And to kind of segue into the next one, we have a heavyweight bout with another guy that has got everybody interested. Is we've got Derek Lewis back in the main card with Beglui Ivanov. And so in many ways, I looked at Ivanov. He just seems like a guy who has a lot. He's more of a defensive fighter. He's a guy that has wrestling in his background that's very accurate. Derek Lewis is just a beast in every way, shape, and form. I'll throw this one to you, Russell. Do you have any predictions on Derek Lewis or Ivanov or anything that you do want to see out of this heavyweight bout?
I'd like to see Derek Lewis bounce back in this one. I think the last fight that he had was that DC?
I think
or
so.
Or did he fight after so. DC? And so
either way, either way, he's been kind of derailed since Cormier.
Yeah, and if, you know, I like Derek Lewis. I mean, the guy is just one of the best post-match interviews that you could ever have.
He is.
Win, lose, or draw, you always want to put a mic in front of that guy. So he brings a spectacle to the sport, just to say the least. But looking at these Russian, Bulgarian guys.
Yeah, the Bulgarian fighter. And again, he seems like a wrestler. A lot of his stuff is very defensive style.
It looks like – it says that Derek Lewis weighed in at 260?
Something like
that. Golly, yeah. He's pushing the heavyweight card, ain't he?
Just a little bit, definitely.
Dang.
Everyone knows Derek Lewis is probably the – if you could think of like a one-punch knockout brawler,
yep.
You know, throw caution to the wind, you're just – kind of a working man's fighter. That's him, because he's coming out with there's no smoke and mirrors. He's like, I've got a piston for a right hand and I'm aiming for your jaw, and if I catch it, you know, you might not wake up till tomorrow. So he's done that throughout his career. He's landed that right hand on so many people, whether it be early in the rounds or later on in the day, whatever, or later on in those rounds. But I mean, like I said, if that comes through and it connects at the right spot, I don't think there's a person in the entire.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the organization that can handle that. But Ivanov is nasty on the ground. So
he really is, yeah.
Yeah, and Derek Lewis is not known as somebody that's going to be putting you in a leg lock or ankle picking you. So, I mean, if you get the Black Beast on the ground, he might get into some uncharted territory there, and we'll see.
Yeah. Which may not be something that the fans want to enjoy. It's always been an uphill battle with anybody that watches MMA. When you see two guys that are wrestling or they're grappling on the ground, that's a point where a lot of the boos come into the arena at that point, because everybody wants to see them just go at it and be what's on the line tonight, the BMF, out of the two that's in the cage. I think you can figure out what acronym I'm discussing here. But when it comes to those guys, it's like you wonder if that's the skill against skill. How good is Derek Lewis as a wrestler? And we're certainly going to find out against this bowl game.
As long as he doesn't take his pants off.
Yeah.
Well, then, of course, Joe Rogan will be asking the same question. It'll be Groundhog Day again in the cage.
Yeah, it's so fun. I can't wait because, like, Russell, you nailed it. I mean, win, lose, or draw, you put a microphone in that guy, he's going to be he'll be in show business or some sort of limelight for the rest of his career because that guy is – he's hilarious.
Legitimately hilarious.
Houston, Texas own.
Exactly. Representing. There you go. That's a shout out to my friends on the H-Town Lowdown for those that are – because I know they listen to the show. I listen to theirs. They listen to mine. Derek Luce is representing at Madison Square Garden. That's one for H-Town. So as we move forward, we got another welterweight bout coming up. But this one, if you look at Luque against Stephen Thompson, it's just most of the experts that I've listened to who talk about this, there's a few of them that are in the inner circle, like Dominic Reyes. Mentioned that he is very much expecting Luque to pull this one out. But if I look at everybody else, most of them seem to have the same response. That Wonder Boy is a puzzle that is very hard to solve. So it's the question now is Luque going to be the guy that is able to solve the puzzle that is Wonder Boy Thompson? What do you guys think?
Go ahead, Gilly.
Well, I mean, I think that up until the Tyron Woodley fights with Wonder Boy Thompson, everyone looked at Wonder Boy as like a Rubik's Cube that had no way to be solved.
Yeah.
You know, he was so awkward, so unorthodox. He came at you sideways, like walking like a crab, and then next thing you know, you're catching a switch kick in the ear. I mean, he's very, very odd and unorthodox, hard to, you know, dictate your range with because he's got that old school karate stance. But then, you know, Woodley gets the best of him, and then we all know what happened when Darren Till absolutely, you know, flatlined him. So I think there's holes in his game. So that's going to do one of two things in my mind. Vicente Luque is a beast. I mean, he's getting this shot for a reason. But I know as advanced as everything is in the fight game now, you know that his Luque's camp has been taking the highlight reels from Thompson's losses, and they're trying to put together a game plan to exploit those.
Sure.
I guess you could say weak points, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, we'll see how good his training camp is after this with that. So
right, and exactly, and you know, but to argue that point, I know that Wonder Boy is an absolute savant when it comes to striking. So for everything that Luque is going to be taking and learning on Thompson's weaknesses, I guarantee you Thompson's going to be working on those weaknesses himself to become better. So it's something that we're just going to have to watch.
And with him being 1-5 in his last five, or 1-4, excuse me, he hasn't really impressed me. The Anthony Pettis fight, just he did not look good in that fight. And he just looks – I mean, I don't know if it just – he looks slow, but – He needs to do something in this just to keep his head above water in the welterweight division because there's some guys in there that are coming up pretty hot.
I take my wins and my losses here and there because, you know, obviously it's Luque, but I keep mispronouncing it. You know, sometimes it's hard to keep up with a lot of the names of these guys that we're trying to pronounce throughout. You know, I've got a guy that I hear all the time. I think I keep hearing other podcasts call him George Masvidal, like it's Jorge Masvidal. One's calling him Yair Rodriguez. I'm like, that's Yair Rodriguez. So sometimes four times out of five, I'm going to get the names correct. I'm better at pronunciation than I am, but you got me on this one on Vicente. So I tip my hat on that one. But nonetheless, it's just going to be – this one is very much an up-in-the-air kind of thing. But who would you guys say that you think that has the most to gain or the most to lose with this fight?
Wonderboy's got the most to lose. I mean, if you think about it.
It's kind of where I was heading to. I kind of threw you the cliff notes on that.
Yeah, I mean.
I would definitely would agree because I think Wonderboy's at the phase of his career where he's a little bit, I don't want to say the twilight, but I mean, this is kind of make or break time for him. And I think for lack of a better term, he's at that point where he's starting to question his abilities because he's very tentative and like timid, it seems like, whereas he used to just be just dialed in, taking everybody on, you know, not blinking an eye. So now we'll see. And I'm very interested for this one. This is the question
mark.
Sure,
very much so. Are we going to have – I don't want to predict that ahead of time or assume that maybe that Wonder Boy is going to pull a what's the guy that recently left the division because he couldn't beat Jones? Was that what was his name that pretty much said that he needed to take retirement? Gustafson. Yeah, Gus. hoping he doesn't pull an Alexander Gustafsson right here, and especially on as big a stage as MSG. You know, I'm hoping that's not the case. But yeah, you're right. I think that he's the one that has more to lose in this case. But again, it's a very good middle of the road for this entire event. Now let's have some fun. Kelvin Gastelum and Darren Till. You kind of jumped the gun on me on that one, Gilly, because I knew you were looking for that segue to bring into Darren Till. I'm going to let you have the floor for a little bit to get your off your chest about this guy. Then I'll give my 2 cents after loud and opinionated intervenes a little bit more. Go for it.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, it's no secret. Anybody that's listened to my podcast or even listened to me talk in other people's podcast, I'm a huge Darren Till fan. I just, you know, regardless of what he's done outside the octagon, I just think that he is an incredibly exciting fighter who has so much to offer, not even just his previous division. But now he is in the middleweight division where he should have been all along, because that guy weighed in and he looks like an absolute tank. And if I'm watching ESPN and the card somehow like cuts off after this fight, I'll be okay, because this is my main event for tonight.
Sure.
Because he's such a large man at that weight and that in that division, and he's fighting somebody in Kelvin Gastelum, who's not necessarily the tallest adversary, but has incredible power. I don't think that since he returned from The Ultimate Fighter, I think every fight that he's had, somebody's ended up flat on the mat. Whether he wins or loses, he's knocked everybody down, which means that he's packing some power. Mm-hmm. And he did so against Israel Adesanya, who, you know, needs no introduction, needs no explanation. He is the next coming of, you know, George St. Pierre, Anderson Silva, you name it. He's going to be the face of UFC if he's not already. Mm-hmm. And for somebody of Gastelum's stature to find and exploit holes in a striking savant like Adesanya's game, that scares me for Till, first off, because, you know, he's coming off a couple losses. But I do think that Till packs an astounding amount of power in his hands and his legs. So whereas Adesanya might be more precise and, you know, technical, for everything that Till lacks in those areas, I think that he makes up for in sheer power. And I'm very excited to see him walking around at his normal weight.
Nice. What you got, big guy?
Nothing. I saw the weigh-ins, and there was a couple of guys that pointed out on something when Gastelum laid in that it looked like he was leaning on one of his coaches, that he had an elbow up.
They're blowing up the elbow gate right now.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see if anything comes of that. I seriously doubt that anything does actually develop from that. But I thought that was just kind of something that was pointed out to me. I guess it was yesterday. And they're both coming off of losses. Kind of like what Justin said, I'm a Till fan more than I am a Gastelum fan. I got to take Till in this one. I'm not that much of a Gastelum fan. I'm not.
Right. I mean, really, the thing that I have here is that it's not that I'm really – most of the guys I've talked to or most of the experts I've listened to do lean towards Till. Now, the only moving part that I'm going to offer to you guys about Kelvin Gastelum that could be a determining factor. Again, we're watching this whole thing. Elbow gate doesn't seem like it holds a candle to how Nate Diaz landed a 3-piece in the soda to USADA. I'll save that one for the next part that's coming up. I think you know what I mean at this point. But what I will mention about Gastelum, y'all mentioned striking power. You've mentioned their abilities and their technical aspects. But one thing you may not have thought about is Kelvin Gastelum is good at absorbing punches. This is a guy who can take the most you've got and keep coming, because most of his wins seem to be by decision. I'm not saying that's the majority of the time, but it certainly is a big element in his game that he can take you the whole way and get his hand raised at the end of the night. So most of the experts say Till. Again, a guy who needs to prove himself at this point is Till, but Kelvin Gastelum is just a guy who can, I believe, can take everything that he's got. So I believe what it's going to take is, are we going to get him to the ground, or are we going to have to see what Darren Till's submission game is all about?
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, there's other intangibles that come into play too. I mean, you got to think Till was skyrocketed into superstardom after the Cowboy Cerrone fight. and then, you know, the Thompson and everything, but people seem to forget how much of a hard time he fell on with, you know, Woodley and the guy who's, you know, doing the main event on this card, you know, Masvidal flatlined him as well. So, I mean, but those were also, when we talk about these knockouts, there are things that come into play. Maybe this is, there's a lot of my bias coming out right now because I am such a Till fan, but a man of his size and stature should not be walking around like a skeleton. You know, he was absolutely torturing himself to make that weight class. And
indeed,
for any avid fight, you know, connoisseur, however you entertain these fights, if you watch them a lot, you know that when guys literally starve and deplete themselves and dehydrate themselves to make a weight, it takes a toll on your body. You know, your brain is made up of, you know, mostly water. And, you know, if you're completely dehydrated, if a pin drops in the right direction, you can get knocked out. So, you know, now that he's healthy, now that he's walking around like the monster that he is, hopefully he can absorb a little bit more punishment and dish it out as well.
Absolutely. Big Russ, got anything on that one?
No, Justin said it all.
There you have it. I don't think I have anything more to add to that. I don't think there's not any more cannon fodder on my end that comes into this
fight. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Again, I'm just as excited about either one just to see what's going to happen. We have a very fast-paced sport that we're trying to follow. And again, the proof is in the pudding with the main event that we have here. This is a very fast-paced thing that happened. You've literally got the fastest knockout in the history of MMA. 5 seconds versus a guy who comes back after a 3-year hiatus and absolutely destroys Anthony Pettis in very desirable fashion, calls out who he wants, who is in the audience, pen to paper happens, one thing leads to another, wipe the hand, snip, snap, and there you have the main event of Madison Square Garden, UFC 244 for the BMF title. And again, I'll save that one for a minute. Let's just look at the fires itself here for now. Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal. Let's hear the predictions of Ray JG and Loud and Opinionated. Go for it, guys.
All right, Russell, I took the torch on the last one. Let me hear yours first, and then we'll kind of spitball from there.
That's who I was hoping would lead the charge on this one.
Oh, well, thanks, Ryan. I appreciate that.
I am so excited for this fight, and I'm not a huge fan of either one. I mean, if I had to take the lesser of two evils, I'm going to go with Masvidal just because the dude backs up what he says. I mean, he starched Ben Askren, who has just not really been impressive since that. I mean, he gets beat. And now he's got Nate Diaz, who's got an iron chin, who you could probably hit the dude with a Mack truck, and he'd probably still try to get up. He just may be bloody. Mm-hmm. And I am so excited for this because I feel like it is going to be just a battle the entire time. And both of them are just going to stand and bang. I mean, it's just going to be two guys that are just going to sit there and beat the brakes off of each other until one of them can't stand up anymore. Who do I want to win? I'd like to see Masvidal win, but it wouldn't surprise me if Diaz caught him. I mean, it would not. I just learned yesterday about the first time that Diaz got knocked out. And so I'm like, okay, so it can happen. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for it. You know, you got two guys who they just want to fight. And it's going to be one of those things. Who's got the better cardio, in my opinion. And it's more than likely going to be Nate Diaz.
There you go. And that was not me trying to be cordial at all. It's just one of those, come on now. This is the moment for the main event. We got to let the glass shatter a little bit, and we got to let Loud and Opinionated come out and get into the ring and be able to stand on the turnbuckles and raise his hands a little bit. That was more of an opening for there at that point. So if you want to get your little fragile feelings hurt on this one, Rated JG, then I don't know what to tell you.
We're talking about fighting, and I'm over here getting my feelings. Here. No, I was laying out the red carpet, and you know, holding the velvet rope for
and
Russell.
And I ripped it out from underneath.
I'm like, yo, Russell, let's hear that loud and opinionated, because he toned it down for that. Because I know
nothing
Russell,
is for sure in the Blockhead Nation, just like Sting. Nothing is for sure.
That's funny. Yeah, but I know Russell is over there, you know, holding back some true feelings, and he's probably keeping it, no pun intended, rated PG.
PG.
Yeah.
But there's nothing off limits here. Just because I'm the gracious host and I'm not going to, that doesn't mean that you as grown men cannot drop a few explicits and I can't change the C to an E on my rating.
There you go.
That's an easy fix, guys. 1, 2, 3, you're done.
But you want true feelings? Nate Diaz is a and I hope he gets his head knocked
and
in.
There you have it, people.
Yeah, I think that this fight, man, it's going to come down to you're never going to question anybody that's watched even one UFC fight. You probably know who Nate Diaz is. And if you've watched a exactly. UFC fight in the past year, you're starting to find out who Masvidal is. Exactly. And there's two things that, you know, when it comes to Diaz, you're going to get trash talk and you're going to get the best cardio in the game. I mean, the dude is him and his brother are known for like waking up, smoking a pound of weed and running miles through the mountains of California. Like, I'm not joking. Like,
no,
that's literally what they do. They're factual. Crazy. They do not have, and their gas tank doesn't even get close to empty. They just go and go and go.
Wake and bake.
Yeah, yep. No kidding. But, and then, so, I mean, that's going to be something that hopefully he can drag Masvidal into the later rounds. Cause I don't have a dog in this race either. You know, I honestly couldn't care less who wins. I think it's great for the sport because the winner of this will be absolutely rocket shipped to superstardom. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
Think about what's going on. Dana White, who is, to use Russell's terminology, the biggest ever, is the president of the company who takes no crap from nobody. He created a fake belt title thing for these two people. What in the world? Like, that shows you the amount of pull that these guys have when it comes to marketing and putting butts in the seats and selling tickets. These guys are running the show right now, and Dana White is just like, okay, let's watch those Benjamins roll in. So,
and they brought and they brought the one, the only Dwayne the Rock Johnson in there.
Yeah,
that's what I'm getting at. If you ever needed proof that we are in the entertainment era of MMA, all you got to do is look at the stare down between Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz with the Rock holding that title over his shoulder. And neither one, and that was the only thing that was really impressive about that stare down, was that neither one of them trash talked each other. It is proof of what you just said. It validates that they just want to fight. But in the midst of that, behind that is the marketing that Dana White is pushing, which is the entertainment era being encompassed by The Rock, who's going to present this belt to whoever wins.
You think The Rock was standing there behind them at the weigh-in, looking at both of them, going, I could crush both of your skulls with one move, and I don't even have to think about it.
He might have. And maybe there's a lot of envy that's running through him. Maybe he was green-eyed the whole time because, you know, this is a guy who has done it all, but the one thing that he hasn't done is stepped inside of the cage and faced another guy that really could take his head off. Of all the other accomplishments, what else is there for him to do? I mean, and so many guys have tried to transition from the WWE to MMA, and it has not been a success story except for one that would probably be Brock Lesnar. I mean, you got a few others that have had a few here and there that have tried it out, but it's always gone back to what they are familiar with. They always go back to their comfort zone, which is the WWE or professional wrestling type of gimmicks. I mean, so we have it in MMA. It's just one of those. I look at that and I go, this is proof that this is the marketing push that we have. But these guys, again, just want to fight. And that's what's beautiful about it.
The Rock, your Dwayne Johnson, whatever you know him by, has been in the entertainment industry for, 20 years, give or take, in every realm you can think of. You know, he's got his own line of clothing at sale at, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods. He's been in all the blockbuster movies. He's been on WWE. He's done, you name it, he's done it. And this is so Mr. Entertainment's chosen form of entertainment is watching these guys fight. Think about that. You know, the man who has everything takes his spare time to watch this. That lets you know how the potential for excitement is there. And, you know, when it comes to what you mentioned earlier about them not trash talking each other, they are the anomalies in today's society when it comes to fighting, because I genuinely believe neither one of them have bad things to say about each other. They're like, yeah, you know, you know, like they kind of look at each yeah. other, they brush their shoulders off. They're like, hey man, let's scrap, let's do this. And you know, no, there's no reason to fluff this up with like the Connor and the Chael Sonnens and stuff like that. Colby Covington's, they have their time and place, but at the end of the day, all those guys want to be in the current position that Masvidal and Diaz are in. And they did it. Masvidal is also known for his one-liners, but those are coaxed out of him in interviews and online. Like it's not like he's outwardly portraying right. this shtick. It just happened, you mm-hmm. know. So, mm-hmm.
and they'll no, probably he doesn't just, want to fly. Exactly.
And they'll probably get together after the fight and smoke a blunt.
Yeah. probably so. And to give what I've got, I'm going to hand it back to you guys in just a second. What I'm seeing is very much what y'all are saying about how, if Jorge is going to pull this off, it's going to happen early. You're going to have to talk about pressure in the first round. If he gets past the first round, the further that this fight goes, the more that is going to favor Nate Diaz. He is very much the New England Patriots style of fighter, which he wakes up by the third round or the fifth round, whatever is the final round that you've got, he just takes it and then he shows up. And then you're panicking. That's just a part of his style. Jorge, to pull it off, is going to have to get done early as possible. And I will tell you, no matter what your opinion is of Nate Diaz, which I'm not a fan of either one of them either, but what I can tell you is Nate Diaz just did a tremendous favor for many more fighters to not have experienced what USADA has put them through. This guy literally threw the knockout blow to the organization that is USADA and said that you will not tarnish my name, and you hit me once, I will hit you 10 times, and that will be the end of it. So whether you like him or not, you have to appreciate what he just did for other people that are wrongfully accused in this sport, because there's other guys that have not been able to do it. I mean, I think it was Lyoto Machida that turned himself in for something he took from GNC, and they shelved him for a year. This is Nate Diaz who got this turned around in 48 hours. So I appreciate that he just pulled off. And I will tell you that when it comes to Nate Diaz, at least we can say that for somebody who doesn't back down against fighters, it looks to me like Dana White has succumbed to Nate Diaz being the needle mover he's been all along. Because if he tries to say that now he's a needle mover, last time I checked, the two highest pay-per-view sells in the history of the UFC were both Connor and Nate Diaz 1 and 2. So how can you tell me he is not a needle mover, whether you like the guy or not?
Or that could even play into, you can look at it from the other direction and see if Dana White just stoking that flame because he knows that he's a needle mover, but Dana's saying he's not, will therefore maybe create more tension. So I mean, there's always two sides to every story. But what I'm going to ask you guys this question, because we haven't talked about this. What is your thoughts on the quote conspiracy behind the whole thing leaking about Nate Diaz? Because Nate came out and said, they don't want me to be the face of this company. If I win this, they want something to fall back on. Oh, well, he had that tarnished test. Oh, well, you know, I scared USADA into saying I'm not, you know, I'm clean. So do you think there's any kind of truth to that, that there's a reason that this came out, just in case Nate takes the belt, then he'll have that little asterisk next to it?
You want that one, Big Russ?
I don't think so. I think Nate Diaz could only be the face of somebody's like dispensary companies or something. I mean, I wouldn't put that guy
his own.
Yeah, that guy's never going to be on a Wheaties box. I kind of agree with him that they don't want him to be there. But if the guy proves it in the ring, why not give it to him? And they may have this little asterisk next to it, and it may happen. But if he goes in there and let's say he starches Masvidal in the first round, you can't deny that guy the ability to sell and market like with the UFC with him. I mean, they did it with like Brian said, with the two Conor fights. I mean, the highest grossing UFC fights there were. So, you know, this one's probably going to be up there as well.
To see if there, when it comes to validity, I will tell you, whichever way it goes, whether this was some kind of a work or if this was an actual shoot, I will tell you, in the better terms, to quote Nate Diaz, I'm not surprised. But I will say that what comes truth is this. Not everybody feels this way, but this is where your favorite blockhead stands. And this comes from, not just from being an MMA fan, somebody who used to watch professional wrestling. I will tell you this. I am more intrigued by the truth of what happens behind the scenes. I could not care less what is going on today in the ring with Brock Lesnar and Cain Velasquez. But I will tell you, Bret Hart, whether he actually knocked out Vince McMahon or not during the Montreal Screwjob or after the fact, does have my interest.
He did.
There are people that will tell you where they were when John F. Kennedy got shot. There were people that can tell you exactly where they were when 9/11 was attacked. People that followed professional wrestling will tell you they remember when they heard about the Montreal Screwjob and about Vince McMahon being punched out by Bret. So when it comes to the actual shoots, when it comes to, I think this is something that's going to have to take time because now it feels like breaking news. I mean, you just had USA Today breaking news. Beto has now backed out of the Democratic race for the 2020 election. That's breaking news, but we have to sit back and go, hang on a minute. Let's not focus so much on politics. Let's look at what's tried and true. Let's see how history will speak for itself. So I think it's a little bit too early for me to pick a side here. But no matter what happens, I'm going to quote Nate Diaz again. I'm not surprised, MFers. You just thought that I would reserve myself. Hey, Chael dropped an F-bomb on his show the other day because it was talking about the BMF title. And my jaw was on the floor. I'm not kidding. Go back and listen to his last episode of You're Welcome. He literally has a part where he says, do you want to know who I think is going to win? Whoever is the baddest mother bleep. And I don't know if he actually said it or not. I reached out to my friend Kevin. Hey, text Chael and see if he really said it. I have heard nothing yet, so we sit in suspense. Did he really drop the F-bomb or not? I don't know. But what it comes down to is I think it's a little too early to predict if this was some kind of a work. But I do believe if anybody is not going to be pushed around by USADA and who actually can do that because they're not dependent on the paycheck, it's got to be Nate Diaz.
Yep.
Yep. And I think he's at the point in his life where he realizes he doesn't need the UFC. He can ride off into the sunset right now with his legacy fully intact. He doesn't need this. He genuinely wants to. And then he also threw caution to the wind. And whenever it came to the ring rust, you know, for him being out of the octagon for so long, I mean, he came back and he took old Weedy Box boy, Mr. Pettis. He took him to the cleaners, man. I mean, absolutely starched him. So I think for everything that we've already said on this podcast, the number one word to sum it all up is just excitement. Like it's exciting.
That is definitely true.
Anything else you want to add?
Did y'all know that Andre Arlovsky is on this fight card?
Yeah, he is. He's on the prelims. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to overskip the prelims. He's on there. Yeah.
I'm such a huge Brendan Schaub fan, yes. And I follow the Fighter and the Kid, King of the Sting, all that stuff. And everyone knows that this follows Brendan's career. You know, Arlovsky and him had that throwdown. So anytime that Arlovsky's name gets brought up, believe me, he talks about it all the time. So I'm looking forward to that one too, for sure.
One prelim I would say watch for is the Corey Anderson and Johnny Walker fight.
Right.
Dude, oh my goodness gracious. There might be another John that takes over that division if everything goes according to plan, because Johnny Walker is insane to watch. Insane.
Yes.
But he hasn't really faced his adversaries really haven't been, you know, upper echelon, I wouldn't say so far. But Corey Anderson's going to give him a handful.
Yeah, I think that may be the best prelim of the night.
There you go. I can't believe I overskipped that. I think it's kind of one of those we went to the main card, and I can't believe I skipped over that prelim. I'm glad you brought that up, Russ.
That's going to be a good one. Johnny Walker hadn't fought in a while, though, has he?
Yeah, because he freaking looked like an idiot after that fight and tore his shoulder or whatever. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Beating Khalil Roundtree is definitely something to be fired up about, but enough to break dance and, you know, ruin your career almost. I think you need to calm down a bit.
Well, he had a fight back in March, Johnny Walker.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, against some Croatian dude.
Oh, okay. Well, the last one I can think of is because I love Khalil Roundtree, and man, whew, my goodness, that elbow he dropped on him and flatlined him. So I'm excited because Johnny Walker brings a lot of a different look because Corey Anderson is such a by the book striker slash wrestler. You know, like just kind of he's going to come at you. He's going to wear you down. He's got a fast pace. And Johnny Walker's doing backflips off the cage, spinning back fist, doing the worm fall. I mean, he's and he's also 6 foot five.
Yeah.
So take that into consideration. He's huge.
Exactly.
And I got to throw a jab at you, YFB. That Cain Velasquez Brock Lesnar match was never mind. It was not entertaining.
It is not to take a jab at the actual industry. What I mean is that I have chosen my route that I want to go. It comes down to what interests me to this day. It's one of my guilty pleasures is being able to see the shoots, to be able to actually see what they've lived through. Those are actually more entertaining for me than anything that goes on in the ring. I'm sorry. There's something about that. Like I remember watching one a while back. I'll share it with y'all now. Jake the Snake was talking about his time with the Ultimate Warrior. I mean, even though the Ultimate Warrior had passed and he was sending his respects, he still said the guy was an idiot at the time. There was something where he was making him walk through a pit of snakes or something like that. And he was telling him, you have to shuffle your feet when you walk through there. Shuffle your feet when you walk through those snakes. Does he? No. Stepping on him. So what are they doing? Biting his legs the whole way as they take the shot. So those are more intriguing to me than what they really experience. So the person itself, the man Cain Velasquez, is more interesting to me than whoever he's portraying in the ring. And I love the fact that he can go out and get money out of Vince McMahon. Go, if you can, do it. That's fine with me. To build on that story, they're building on an MMA event on Brock being defeated by Cain Velasquez. What better way to promote that show?
Yeah, that Saudi Arabia thing that the WWE just did, it was just a huge money grab. That's all that really was for them.
Yeah, isn't there a fight on December 7th that's going to be at, I think it was Anthony Joshua and Ruiz. I think it's their second go-around. It's going to be in Saudi Arabia, if I'm not mistaken. And you know what happened on December 7th? 1941, the attack on Pearl Harbor. So you tell me which one is more precious, money or preserving our American history. You tell me which one.
USA, USA.
I threw another grenade at you. So, but yeah, it comes down to that one has just, you can see the dollar halos around everybody's head for that one at that point.
The only asterisk on that one is you are talking about a Brit and a Mexican fighting.
Touché.
So technically, technically it's not their heritage. Yes, I'm pretty sure you're
right. No, he's right.
Here, but he is 100%. He's Mexican and Joshua is overseas. So they get a little bit of a pass.
Touché. See, this. There you go. You got all your moving parts that come here. But guys, I don't know how y'all feel, but I am three sheets to the wind on A&W Root Beer. I've been having a great time with having you guys on. But what I will ask is this. I will say that for the chance to be able to promote you guys again, is what can we say on the end of this part? Now that we've covered the main card, what can I introduce you guys for on the Ray and JG podcast? What can I mention for that and what we can expect for Loud and Opinionated?
The host of the Rated JG podcast. I've been doing it for almost a year and got a couple episodes out. I really enjoy interviewing people and of all walks of life. I've got business owners, I've got musicians, people from, you know, all different corners of the universe kind of meeting up with us. And I also have my wife on. We talk about life, we talk about music, we talk about sports. It's just a fun little creative outlet that I have and been reaching a lot of people, so I'm thankful for all my listeners, but there's a lot more to come. A lot more people are on the schedule, and I'm always very fortunate and very lucky to link up with people such as yourself, Brian, and the Blockhead Nation. So we will always be in touch with each other, and we will stay intertwined in this circle for sure. So that's on my end. But
definitely, I'll make sure that there are links for the Ray JG podcast, for Spotify, and for Apple Podcasts. That's going to be easy to find in the blog, guys. And what I will tell you is this, as we continue to wrap the show, I will tell you to go ahead and check out my friends over at Century Martial Arts as well. Whether you're a black belt instructor, whether you're a fitness enthusiast, or you're just now trying out your MMA gear, go ahead and check out my friends over at Century MMA. And when you're ready to glove up and you check out, make sure you use the promo code SAVE10. That is how you're going to save your money at Century Martial Arts. 10% off of your purchase on anything. And as I bring this to a close, I've already mentioned Ray at JG. I got to make sure that I plug my friend. So Big Russ, Loud and Opinionated, soon to come. What can we expect with your podcast, and when will be the launching date?
Well, Monday afternoon, I'm going to look at the podcast studio here in Mansfield. So I'm hoping to probably – it's going to be December.
Okay.
Maybe before. I'll definitely let everybody know. Going to try to get me a nice little Facebook page or something like that, you know, something fancy. But what can you expect? I don't even know what I can expect, because it's just going to be, it's going to be random. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be something that everybody's going to want to listen to.
And there you have it, guys. So what we'll do is we will send these guys off. But again, guys, be watching UFC 244. I have had a great time with them. This is our very first roundtable that I've ever done with this show. And hopefully, as time goes on, we plan on doing many more. And with that right there, Justin Gilley and Russell Brown, I bid you guys adieu.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, man.
I'm thrilled to have you all. You bet. And for everybody else that's listening on the Blockhead Nation, be sure and tune in next Saturday, same Blockhead time, same Blockhead channel.